This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday. Friday already. Friday, March 10th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as I introduce an interview an extraordinary lady, right? And a lady who's doing big things locally and big things internationally. And I said, let me try to get to know her. Let me try to introduce her. Producer, can you hear me? Because I'm going in and out, and I'm hoping that's good. I said, let me introduce her formally to my Bahamian audience, because this lady is the director of the Governor General's Youth Award. And I said, how did you get there? And I said, what, you're a volunteer? She said, no, I do this full-time. You say, that's a job? He said, yes, it's a job. And I organize all these Bahamian students to empower them. And I said, hey, I got to have you come on the show, because once upon a time, I was in the Duke of Edinburgh Award. And that's the same thing, right? And you say, yeah. So I say, okay, I'm going to invite you here. And I want you to explain how you your history first and how you got involved in it in the first place. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you to Miss Janetta Josetta. And I just wrote that down again. Jaquetta. Lyburn.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And she's the director of the Governor General's Youth Award. That's correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So before I have you formally explain what the Governor General's Youth Award and mm-hmm. and help me pronounce that acronym over and end, because I don't want to say the words, right? I want to know about you. You were born in Eleuthera?
Yes.
And I want to know how you get here in New Providence doing this big thing.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks again for having me on the show, and good morning, Bahamas. I'm very excited and nervous to be here. So how I get to be in New Providence, I mean, I grew up in Eleuthera, South Eleuthera, Rock Sound. My father was from Greencastle, Eleuthera, so I'm borderline. I'm very deeply rooted in the south of Eleuthera. And I actually did all of my formal education in Eleuthera and grew up. And then when I graduated from Preston Aubrey High School, home of the Stallions, I moved over and I attended the College of the Bahamas, what's now known as University of the Bahamas. And I pursued teaching. And even then, I was involved as a participant and volunteer for GGYA. And so following my time as a teacher, an opportunity came to, I guess, be in this position as director. And I took an opportunity, and that's really where I ended up. So it did start with volunteering, honestly.
And I'm impressed with that, because I know how big GGYA is, and the idea that you're director of this branch and that you belong to an international organization, mm-hmm. and trying to correlate all of that and making sure all of the persons underneath your umbrella is doing big things. I want to know what exactly is the Governor General's Youth Award, right?
Yeah.
And so let's start there, because I was going to ask you how it tied into your teaching.
Okay.
And then I was going to also ask, since you were a former participant,
yes,
what degree, what medal you were at when you...
Yeah. Okay.
But I want to know that too, because I know once upon a time I was involved. Yes. I know you had to go to bronze medals and silver medal, yes. And I want to know how you get qualified to be just a big director.
Well, I don't know that it's an honor to actually work with the organization. So I'll say that first. But the Governor General's Youth Award is a program for young people between the age of 14 to 24. And young people are able to take on a challenge of personal development, but also it's about practical and cultural activities for young people to be involved in, simply based on following a framework that's delivered through what you would have known as the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award. But young people choose the activities that they would like to do that fall within this framework. And so it's really putting the onus on the participant to find and pursue activities that they can do at the level that they're at once they start to bronze and move on to silver and move on to gold. And so that's basically an idea of what the program essentially is about. So we do deliver the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award program. That is our program. And it's named the Governor General's Youth Award to pretty much, you know, tie in our local, our pride as a nation that's governed by the Governor General for the most part. And so it pays homage to the Governor General, who's our patron. So I think all of the Governor Generals that we've had in the last, I would say, 30 years have agreed to sit on as patron. And so the Honorable Sir C.A. Smith, he is actually a patron of our organization.
So let's make sure I understand. So it's the Governor General's Youth Award.
GGYA.
GGYA, yes. Which is the local vernacular for the
Duke of Edinburgh's International Award.
And that you're still associated with the Duke of Edinburgh International.
Yes.
And the awards that are given out is tied into that international award.
Yes, so the award, and we provide two types of recognition. So one is a certificate that's signed by the Governor General. Okay. So that's local recognition. Mm-hmm. And the other is a global pin, similar to the one that I have, the gold pin. Mm-hmm. That's our global recognition. So these are in bronze and silver and gold, and it pretty much includes you into the global alumni family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, for people who are interested in knowing and having their children participate, where are you located formally? Because I know you have an office and staff.
Yes.
And I want to know about
we have a very small staff. We have an office that's just off Shirley Street. And we just purchased a building. So that's a big deal for us as an organization. We were able to purchase a home building that's just off Shirley Street near in the area. I think that's now known as Shirleya, which was formerly the original Twynham, I think. But it's number 12 Essex Street is where we're located. Okay, but we can be reached at 326-1760. And the secretary that's there, who is our only other full-time staff other than me, she can definitely guide you into how young people can get engaged and enroll. Most of our centers are set up through secondary school or senior schools. Mm-hmm. And so we do have some that we have on board with us. We have about between 40 to 43 units around the Bahamas. We have on average about 20 to 25 that are on New Providence. So it's really just to reach out to our office and find out if there's a program operating in that school where their participant or their child may be at. And then if that's not, then we also have options for how young people that fit within that age range can be involved. And so there are opportunities, even if the program is not offered at your school, because we are still growing. We are still looking for centers that we can reach out to engage young people in schools or in other organizations as well. So we're trying to find volunteers who are willing. So we're still growing. But if you have a student or a child who is not in a school that has GGYA or offer GGYA, we can help you with that, and we can kind of get you involved in one.
So I don't have to be in a formal school to be a part of GGYA?
No, you don't have to be in a formal school. So as long as you're within the age range, and that's a misconception that has been around for many years, that we're a high school program, and we're not. We cater to young people between 14 to 24. So whether or not you're you're in school, the program, one of the pillars of the program is that we're non-discriminatory, and your race and your background and your religious affiliation, your economic affiliation, does not affect your ability to participate in our program. And so we'd like to kind of stifle that myth that you had to be in school and you had to, you know, it's an elitist program that's for some and not for others. We actually was able to secure a grant in 2021 during the pandemic that allowed us to even reach, it's an international grant from the International Award Foundation. And that grant allowed us to expand into centers that don't often have access to programs or clubs that are in mainstream schools or learning environments. So the grant was able to get us access to schools like Willa Mae Pratt Center. We have a GGY mm-hmm. unit. We're in Program Shore. We also have a unit that's at the Beacon School in Grand Bahama. So that grant was able to allow us to extend our reach. And what that has done was pretty much opened some doors for young people who otherwise would be considered counted out of having the opportunity.
And you mentioned that your participants are between the ages of 14 to 24.
Yes, yeah, so you just missed it.
Well, yeah, just missed it. So it's like, what if I'm like just finished school, 17, 18?
Yes.
Right? But I always want to be a part of that.
Yes.
How do I go and join that? And at what stage do I join that in?
So because right now we're not presently in any of the, tertiary institutions. We used to be in the University of Bahamas. That's where I actually joined for my silver and pursue my goal. Mm-hmm. So you can still join. And a lot of times young people can join through the school where they would have come from previously. Mm-hmm. Or if you contact our office, we're able to put them with a group of young people and we develop or make a group for young people to be able to still engage in activities for the award. The truth is, most of the things that young people have to be involved in to get their award, they do independently. They pursue their own interests. So the young person says, okay, there are these four things that I have to do, and I could go and find, you know, three of them. But for that initial one where we have to work as a team, which is the adventurous journey, I have to be in a group of at least four persons in the group. So getting back to what young people have to do. So young people that enrolled in GGY, we encourage them to enroll at the bronze level primarily. And that's for persons that are 14 mm-hmm. and up. So once they enroll in the bronze level or any level, they have to do four activities. So they have to be involved, learn a skill. They have to be involved in a physical recreation. They have to give back and be a part of a voluntary service initiative. And then they have to work in a small group or team to carry out an adventurous journey or an expedition, which is what, you know, almost just about 100% of our young people join for the expedition. But even our parents that are interested in getting their kids involved, they see young people out hiking. They see young people out engaging in these expeditions, working as groups. And that's usually the face of the award in the public. That is our direct connection with young people. Otherwise, it's strictly and mostly primarily based on our volunteers.
And the organization is about personal development of persons, right?
Yes.
You mentioned own interests, adventurous journey. I know what adventurous journey is. Okay. And physical recreation.
Yes.
But what do you mean that the participant need to have pursue their own interests?
So we give the framework from the awards perspective.
Okay, let me reframe it this way.
Yes.
I just joined. I want to be a bronze.
Yes.
I just joined it now. Right. Right? And I assume the advisors or facilitator will give me an outline.
Yes.
Right? Explain from that outline on what can I anticipate or what I'll be challenged to do.
Right. So that volunteer will pretty much, that outline will pretty much dictate that you have to be involved in these three other activities okay. other than the adventurous journey. Mm-hmm. So you have the power to really determine what those activities are. So you choose the activity that fits into those three areas. So you choose an activity that you can pursue for skill.
And I want you to explain that again.
Yes.
I mean, more further, I mean, you say skill.
Yes.
So I'm here now. Is there a list of skills? How do I know which skill? Or I should, as you've shaped and molded myself, as I am shaping and molding yes. myself, I say, hey, I was interested in this.
Yeah.
And then I'm pushed toward that.
Right. So let's say you were interested in learning Mechanics.
Right. I'm interested in learning mechanics.
So you're interested in learning mechanics. You work with your uncle in a garage on the weekends. Mm-hmm. You could continue pursuing that. So you said the program itself encourages young people to set a goal for whatever activity they're being involved in. You say at the end of the time you have to spend at the bronze level, which is average 6 months minimum, mm-hmm. you set a goal for what you start, where you start, and what you want to have achieved or learned in 6 months. So we have young people, and in the outline, this is part of the training. So we train our volunteers who are able to manage our young people mm-hmm. and explain this to them. But young people also have access to our website. They have access to the Duke of Edinburgh's website. Our website is bahamasggya.org, and all of the information is there. But we have all the tools and the information that we provide for young people so they know exactly what it is that they have to do. So the age 14 is simply an age of, you know, what we consider a bit of maturity where young people can pretty much say, I like to do this, or I think I like to do this, or I don't like to do that. And it's that interest. It's them pursuing an interest. And at the end of it, it's learning from it. So skills are anything pretty much that young people can learn that can develop themselves, pursue an interest or a hobby. It can, in some instances, if it's technical and vocational, it can make them more marketable later on. We have young people that have gone through GGYA and use activities that they did while in GGYA to use as a profession. Mm-hmm. And so that's how skills really empower the participant themselves. So likewise, with the physical recreation, we require that young people be involved in a sport that, you know, healthy bodies equal healthy minds. And when you look at what mental health looks like or healthy mindsets, fitness is a part of that. So we say, okay, so part of what you have to do to develop as an individual holistically is to be physically active. You don't have to compete with anybody. You don't have to be the star player on the team. But you get out there and you get active and you move and you grow.
So the participant journals about this?
Like the participant keeps a journal and a record about their engagement, what they're learning mm-hmm. and what are some of the challenges they're overcoming. Because if you're pursuing an interest, you're not going to like everything about it mm-hmm. because it's something that you're interested in. But you talk about that. And that's the learning point. There are points of learning to say, you know, you used to maybe feel a particular way about a thing, but then you followed it for a consistent amount of time, and now you like it. Now you've learned something, or now you don't like it, but you've also learned that.
And this book, when I've completed it, my journaling, do I turn it into somebody?
Right. So now, before when we would have done it, you had to journal in a book. Mm-hmm. So now with the digital, you know, the advancement of technology, we have digital tools available to young people. So their journaling is actually online.
Okay.
So we do have an online record book. Once participants join, they have access to this database. And that's something that the award office provides, access to this database mm-hmm. for them to keep the logs. They're able to put in what they want to do at each level.
Okay.
So once they start the bronze level, the platform enables them to access the bronze level platform. Mm-hmm. The hours are already there for how long they have to commit.
Mm-hmm.
And the average is for each activity you engage for at least 1 hour per week.
Mm-hmm.
In each activity, and you have that access to that platform to kind of log maybe one or two sentences about what it is that you learned, what you did, and how you've grown if you overcame challenges. So the logging is actually digital,
mm-hmm.
and it's accessible wherever young people have access to the internet.
When you say digital, because it's abroad, is this video also or just?
It can be video. Yeah, so the tools are everything that young people will need in order to pursue the award.
Mm-hmm.
All of the information is there on this platform. So there's a website that teachers or the participant has access to.
Mm-hmm.
It's supervised by a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
That's able to access the participant's account and see what activities that they're doing. So the digital platform is for the participants to keep an account and for the volunteers to track.
Okay, let me go back.
Yes.
You have GGY units.
Yes.
How many units do we have in the Bahamas?
I'll say now we've seen a bit of growth. So we're still growing after, before the pandemic, we had about 50 to 52 units across the Bahamas.
And then units now technically mean schools
centers,
or award centers,
right,
types.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So when I use that, that's
yes.
what I mean.
I just want to make sure everyone understands
yes,
that.
Okay. Yes, of course. So So the units are, so we now at about 43 and growing around the Bahamas.
And what if the school my child attends does not have an organized unit there as yet? And yes. She wants to participate.
I know. So that has proven to be the greatest challenge, is getting access, because now we need persons that are in the school to volunteer. So we ask for a volunteer to be in the school. So once we identify the school that they're in, we reach out to the school and we say, okay, we send out the information and say, okay, we would like to, you know, or would you like GGY to be a part of your school? And then it's a sign off, because a lot of times principals want to have GGY in the school, but we need a teacher that's a volunteer. We need someone that's a part of the school body that volunteers, that gives us access to those young people. And not that it's mandatory, it's best practice. So what we find is that when volunteers are part of the school system, there's that measure of trust that you're working with young people and all of the responsibility that comes with working with minors. So these are persons that are vetted through the school system, through the government, through the organization, through the institution that says these individuals, these adults can work with minors and or work with young
people. Just in case someone who's listening say, I like that, but I'm not sure what's the responsibility of a volunteer, or what does it mean or requires of me.
Yeah.
What is a volunteer?
So volunteers are persons that supervise and mentor young people and guides them on a trajectory that allows them to be successful. What we are getting out of, and what some people, I guess, assume, is that these mentors or the volunteers are there to test to make sure they're on the right track. It's simply to advise and guide for young people who may not know what they're interested in, but you know, you may have a teacher there who wants to do GGY and say, well, you know, this is a skill that you can learn. It's available in the school. You know, you can wait after school to do it, because it has to also be the participant's time. So they can't use third and fourth period math as a skill. They have to go to after school math class, Saturday advanced math class. So it has to be their voluntary time. So the adult volunteer themselves, once volunteers sign up in the school system, we fully support that volunteer until they're able to manage the program on their own. So we would go in, we would train as necessary, we would pretty much support them in whatever they need to learn and understand. So training for volunteers are free. They really simply have to say they're interested in delivering the award program.
And
we come in and we do the training for them. And so training is available to our volunteers year round.
So the child now finishes the bronze medal.
Yes.
Right. The bronze degree. Right.
Right. So it's it's
six. How does she turn that information in?
Exactly. So
and to start the next program.
So because we're on a digital platform, the system keeps the tracking for them. And that's a system that's developed by the International Foundation. So all participants around the world have access to this database. So us here in the Bahamas, because we have a national office, we are able to filter that information through for our participants. So once participants have completed each area and put in the right amount of time that they're supposed to do in each activity, the system is already tracking it and counting it. And once they reach their however many hours, so if in 6 months they have to do about 26 hours on average, once they reach that 26-hour cap, the system automatically alerts them and says, you've completed this activity. So, and then once that's done, the participant knows, hey, I'm done with all of my hours for silver. I'm done with all of my hours for skills. I'm done with all of my hours for whatever activity or level they're doing. The volunteer then is responsible to send that information off. And all it is the click of a button.
Just press send.
Yeah, just click send, or the platform's version of send. And then we're alerted at the national office to say, this participant is ready for an award. And as we go through our award vetting and ensuring that these young people met the requirement, then it's as easy as that.
Okay, we mentioned own interest and skill.
Yes.
What is this adventurous journey?
So the adventurous journey is an activity that young people complete in a group or a team. Okay. So the team is no less than four and no more than seven. And usually, so we'll make a broad-based assumption that these young people, they go to school together. They're not particularly friends, but they all do GGYA. So the idea is that these young people are engaged and they're not with their usual pairs. These are people that are thrown together because they all work in the same or they function in the same environment. They all attend school. But they're put in an environment where they have to learn to work together in order to accomplish this goal. And that's typical of work environments. That's typical of our tertiary or school environments where you may not like who's in the class, but you learn to get along. You learn to function. That's society. You know, we don't believe in everything that everybody does, but we have to be able to function as a society. And so that team, what we do is we take them on an expedition. So there are usually two. So the first time they go out on an expedition, which is a backpacking or hiking trip.
Okay.
At the bronze level, it covers on average a minimum or at least 2 days, one night camping out.
Camping out two days.
In what you would call a wilderness, but in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Right.
I see the bush. That's called a wilderness. Yeah.
Right. So we put these young people together, and this is after training. So they're not ready to go unless they're fully trained and kind of pretty much check off our boxes of training for the participant. So once they're fully trained and have a good understanding of what is expected of them, they have an awareness of safety and emergency procedures. They have an awareness of how to get over group dynamics. You put them in an environment where they're unfamiliar and they carry out this expedition or hiking and camping, and they have to work as a team. They have to show that type of cohesion. They don't have to always get along, but they have to accomplish a goal that they set before venturing out.
And this hiking and camping has equipment and stuff like that?
Yeah. So we subsidize the majority of the expedition for young people, but the young person has to be, they're expected to pretty much get the, or acquire their own equipment. Mm-hmm. Now, in some instances, we're able to provide equipment and training for them. But most of the equipment that young people use, they're personal. You have to have a first aid kit. Mm-hmm. Don't depend on anybody for that. Mm-hmm. And so that's a personal thing. You may want to have your own personal tent. Or you may say, you know what? You know, you and I are friends. We're going to put money together and we're going to buy a tent and we're going to share a tent. Okay. However, co-ed sleeping is not...
So if
you and, you know, friends come together and say, oh, let's go, because I can go half and you could go half and we'll share a tent, you know, and that's how we encourage that participants take the responsibility of acquiring what you need to succeed on your expedition. But likewise with all the other activities.
Nice. I mean, this is nice. Okay.
It is nice. It's nice because I think you and I spoke about it before, we don't realize the opportunity to engage with people who we never would have spoken to in a school environment otherwise. Mm. There's a group in a unit that started in 2020, these 10 participants, it was 10 of them. They were not friends in school. They barely knew each other. And they started doing GGYA and going to meetings on Saturdays and working together. And these young people, these girls are almost the best. They are inseparable now. So they've moved from bronze. They've gotten their bronze award. They're working on getting their silver award in a couple months. They're now gold participants. And these girls they're as close as sisters. But that tells you how you develop that social cohesion just by providing an opportunity for young people to get together in a managed environment where they can be supervised in a healthy way and have them work as a group or team. Because we've seen them on the expedition and it was not easy, but they were able to work together and get over challenges. And what they learned is when they face these challenges, they can get over it. So from bronze, it feels like, oh my goodness, we're never going to get over this. We're never going to find our way. We're never going to finish. And then at silver, if you move from bronze and go to silver and it's a little bit more challenging, you realize, boy, I remember it was hard in bronze, but we still did it. And then you get over that little hurdle. And then you move to gold and you realize, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. It's an expectation now because now you know there's going to be a challenge and you do it anyway. And that's, we miss that. Allowing young people to have those experiences.
What's the general difference between a bronze and silver? Of course, goal.
Yes. I mean, so it's the time that's committed. So young people have to commit more time. So for bronze, it's an average of about 6 months it takes them to complete the activities for that level. For silver, for the silver level, it's about 6 months and doing the same activity. But for the goal, it's 12 months dedicated to that activity. So the difference between the bronze and silver with the 6 months is the bronze, they're out for 2 days and one night. Mm-hmm. For the and they cover about, if they're hiking, they cover about 15, 16 miles over the 2 days. Or how we calculate it in hours or productive activity is about 6 or 7 hours of activity. So they're hiking and engaging for that amount of time. Silver, they're out for more days. So they're out for 3 days and two nights. So it's that same but it's more engagement. So the hiking, if they're hiking, it's longer, mm-hmm. Or they're devoting, 7, 8 hours of purposeful activity each day. And so it's the time frame. It's the time that they're committing at each level.
You mentioned Saturday meetings. What is the Saturday meetings about?
That's just an option for volunteers to, they can opt or choose to meet on Saturdays because sometimes, well, now particularly the school environment doesn't allow it does not allow a lot of flexibility within the school day. So some time ago, and I could pin it, before COVID, we had a lot of units that were able to meet during the school day, or you'd say, okay, lunch break, you had a full hour. Mm-hmm. Now our schools, our children are
just busy.
45 minutes of a break time of an almost 7 to 8 hour day. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Young people average about an hour a break. Mm-hmm. So when we look at that, those figures, our young people are burnt out. And organizations and programs like GGYA, it helps young people to understand that this is not the only way that you can be successful. Mm-hmm. It's a popular way. But it's not the only way. And we like to talk about non-formal education because these young people are learning. They're learning about themselves. They're learning about what they're interested in. They're learning about their community. They're learning about other adults who care and are concerned about the young people and where they go and the direction in life. Because there's value and impact for volunteers as well. So it's not just about the young people. It's about our culture of volunteerism and us investing in that next generation.
Culture of volunteerism.
Yeah. And I say that because we're growing up in Eleuthera, we didn't have a choice to be involved. Mm-hmm. Like you did, it was not an option. You do it or wish you did. Mm-hmm. So you went to church, you were involved in youth group, you were involved in after school programs, and that was intentional, but it was also no options other than that. And that became your social area, an aspect of interacting with other people, your friends. Your friends went to the same clubs as you. Mm-hmm. Your friends stayed after school. We had one high school in the South. And so kids came from all the other parts of the island, the South, to come to that one high school. That was our social environment. Like there was no bowling. There was no mall.
GGYA is popular in Family Island then?
It had its time of being popular, but now we're looking at a different demographic of young people. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes with the re-education of what can be determined as fun. Mm-hmm. These young people are very digital. We had no choice but to be outside. As a matter of fact, you weren't allowed inside. You had to ask permission to be inside. Mm-hmm. But the fact that young people have to be trained in how to be outside, this is different. This is a different field altogether. How to network with other people, how to interact with another human being that's your age and that likely has the same interests and goals as you, they have to be trained to do that. And that's a lesson for us as adults. That's a lesson for us as a nation, isn't it? That we have to put them in the environment to do so. We didn't have a choice. I think that's how you see the difference in, boy, when I was younger, we weren't able to do this. You didn't really have a choice. This is all you knew.
Which begs my next question. What type of child, what type of young adult should be engaged in this Governor General's Youth Award program?
Any. All of them between 14 to 24. Mm-hmm. So I guess during a particular time, that was the definition of youth, was that age where young people are, learning the most about themselves and making decisions about themselves because you're starting your educational journey but you have a say in what you learn. And so all young people, there used to be a saying in GGY, and I guess it, you know, it was good to say it and it sounded good and people, and we all kind of supported it and say, you know, we cheered on the fact that, yay, nobody from GGYA ever went before the courts and, you know, never had that those challenges and issues and, you know, but do we really want to say that? Because then you rule out a group of young people that you say, yes, you made a mistake, but that is not the end of your life. Mm-hmm. So we would like to now say, even if you end up in a Willamae Pratt Center, even if you end up in a Shore program, even if you end up in a Simpson Pen, you can still do GGYA mm-hmm. because that is not the end of your life. And not only is it not the end of your life, you're going to come out of those centers. You're not there forever. And you have to be included in our society.
Wow.
And imagine the difference between an individual who feels as though all is lost and an individual at that age that feels like, you know, there's still hope. All is not lost.
We are talking to Jacetta.
Jacquetta.
I'm going to get this name in.
Jackie.
I should have said, just call her Jackie one time.
You can call me Jackie one time.
And I'll write down all the syllables for this note. Jacetta,
all of it.
And anyway, Jackie Liburn,
yes.
Who is the director of the Governor General's Youth Award Program in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And she's telling me about the great things that the award can offer young adults in general and the entire aspects of it. But when we come back, she just met a prince, right? And I want to know, that we had the royal family here, and I want to know that experience and how that impacted the local youth here. But we'll be right back to Guardian Radio AM in the morning.
Yes.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. I have Jackie. See how I simplified that name. Jackie Liburn, who was with me. She
yes.
is the director of the GGYA in the Bahamas. And just recently, she had an earl.
Yeah.
A earl here. Royal family. And we know that we are associated with that, with our Governor General's Award. I want to know the association, again, repeat their association, and what that had meant for your local program. Like, what was the interaction? Why was the Earl here?
Yes.
Right? So go ahead.
And that was something exciting for us. And for me, and I can't really say that it was something that I had ever done before. I'd seen it happen. They visited on a number of occasions. So the Earl, Prince Edward, well, formerly the Earl, and his wife, the Countess Sophie, they now are the Duke and Duchess of Edinburgh as of today.
Nice.
So Prince Edward's father, mm-hmm. Prince Philip, was the Duke of Edinburgh, and he started the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Program. Mm-hmm. And so it is just since 1952, it has grown to more than 130 countries and territories worldwide. Some of those countries still carry the name of the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award, but other countries like ours and countries in the region may have adopted other names that deliver the Duke of Edinburgh. So we're the Governor General's Youth Award. Some other countries may be the President's Award. Mm-hmm. And so whatever the name, you're delivering the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award. And so that created ties and connections with the actual royal family. Prince Edward himself is alumni of the award program.
He went through this too.
Right. So he's a gold award holder. So he would have achieved his gold award. And since his father, I guess, retired from the position, he came in as the chairman of the International Award Foundation, under which GGYA is a part. And then since he became chairman, he has been the face of the organization from the aspect of, you know, the royal family's ties and connection to GGYA and to the Duke of Edinburgh globally. I think a lot of people aren't aware, we've had under the directorship of Denise Mortimer, mm-hmm. who was the former director, I think she really paved the way for GGYA and what it is and the influence, I should say, it has on the community. So I'm attempting to fill a different set of shoes in taking on that, I guess, portfolio and carrying the organization forward. So she would have hosted the Prince Philip, the actual Duke of Edinburgh, many times in this country, many visits. And a lot of volunteers that we have recall, and a lot of people in the country actually recalled his visits. But a lot of times he came and one of the things he ensured that he did was come to have an impact and be engaged with young people in the award program. And so likewise, Prince Philip, now the Duke of Edinburgh, he was able to come just recently, and it was under that same, same sentiment.
So what did he do?
He did present gold awards.
So there was some gold
awards. Okay. Yes, we have some recent gold awards, and we've had, the number is small, but by comparison, considering these participants would have achieved their gold award, most of them during COVID, mm-hmm. and being able to change their activities to do it from home and do it a little bit differently because we were restricted in getting access to a lot of public spaces to do activities. But he was able to come and pretty much have an impact and influence and present those gold awards. So we had about 13 young people that achieved their award.
That's a big number.
It's small by comparison, but we are growing. And so he presented those awards, and then he was really only here. They were really only here for about 24 hours because mm-hmm. they came in one day and it ran into the next day. And so the afternoon of the following day, they were gone. Mm-hmm. But another thing that we did that allowed us to engage more of our young people to make that connection was we had a rally in Adelaide on a property for one of our trustees who allows us to camp on their property. Good. And we thought that was appropriate since most of our participants now have actually camped on that campground. And so it was in this private setting that both principals were able to interact and get up close and talk about what these young people are doing and be interested in how it's helped them move from, I guess, where they would have started to where they are now and talk about that. And I think that in itself is essential because a lot of times we assume what young people are learning. We assume what they like about whatever it is they're doing. But this gave them an opportunity to be the person that speak on their own behalf to say, well, this is what I'm doing for my award. And they could be proud of that, to know that that's based on a decision that they made. And not only for the benefit of the royals themselves, but for that participant. And to know that someone is concerned about mm-hmm. what it is that they're doing. They were able to meet volunteers and a lot. And we were so proud to have so many of our volunteers that were there that day who had been a part of the award, who was also alumni, whether they had achieved just their bronze or just their silver, or just their gold, or all three. And so, and some of those volunteers, he himself had come and presented those awards to. Mm-hmm. And so we had schools from as far west as Lyford Key and as far south as St. Augustine's College.
Diverse.
And so we had about, I think about 20 to 25 different schools or units represented. In addition, the Countess, or the Duchess of Edinburgh, she was able to visit the Willa May Pratt Center for Girls, mm-hmm. because we have a program that's running there. And he was able to visit Shore Program, where we've recently started a program at Shore Program for the young boys that are there. And I think that connection, because when you hear about the royal family, a lot of times, you know, you get this negative context. Mm-hmm. But what we can value and take away is the attention and in the influence that they have. Imagine that attention is directed to young people who would not otherwise have that spotlight on them to say, this is what I'm doing, and it's a great thing, regardless of who's asking about it.
GGYA seems easy to join. Easy.
It
to
is.
Join, very interactive.
Engaging, it's easy to join.
And engage it. And
yes.
One of my concerns was that a number of clubs are taxing in terms of time. So, but I don't have time to do this.
Yeah.
Whereas GGYA seems to work with your schedule.
Yes. So not only does it work with our schedule, we are not in competition for young people to join us and not that one. Mm-hmm. One of the things we encourage young people to do that pretty much makes participating in the award or achieving an award easier is to go and join a club that
and
does
that
serve.
Club helps right. you with your right.
So if you join the club, you really can, you know, the work does itself. You mm-hmm. really only have to participate in the club. Mm-hmm. So we ask young people when they join in schools, do you guys have a service club? Do you have a key club? Do you have another club, a service-oriented club that's running, an anchor club? These are all clubs that have Hands for Hunger has a club in schools, in some schools. So it's not in all of them, but it's available and you could join. So there you go. You're doing service. You're a part of the eco school club, mm-hmm. a gardening program at your school. There is, you know, so many different clubs that are offered in the schools that young people can join. Same, likewise for physical recreation, likewise for skills. Mm-hmm. And so if we encourage young people to join, that limits them being frustrated over not knowing where to go, mm-hmm. not knowing who to trust. There's no adult volunteer. I don't know this person. I don't like people. I don't like interacting. But they're in this environment. And while we would like to allow them to step outside of that environment, the actual engagement that they will have will encourage them to step out of that environment. And so we encourage, yes, initially, they will stay in that little safe space. But as they become comfortable in what they want to learn and determining what they want to get out of it, you find that they would take more of an initiative with each level they go to, from bronze to silver to gold.
I have a text here that says, does the GGYA teach students about business and entrepreneurship, concerning schools don't have that?
Right. So JA has been around for many years that teaches just that. Mm-hmm. And we encourage our young people, if you want to learn a skill, JA is reputable.
And it teaches
them. Yeah. You go to the JA club and it's been in schools for years. You know, they teach young people to enterprise. They teach young people to run their own business, to learn. I mean, when I was in high school, I was in JA too. I mean, I didn't last very long.
Yeah, I understand.
But these are, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. So we're not actually trying to promote our own program or our own club. We're asking young people to go and be a part of clubs. And that helps us to also extend our reach in the community by young people being involved in different things.
I'm impressed. But let's just do a recap, right?
Yeah.
I need to know your phone numbers, how to contact you, email, address, whatever it is. And that if I'm a parent, if I'm a young adult listening, say, I want to be a part of that.
Yes.
Especially when you say you go into the family islands, because we didn't even talk about
how we did it.
Let me start there first and go back.
Okay.
I see pictures of people on the family island going to
right.
Blue Hole. And since I didn't get to go to Blue Hole, I want my child get to go to the Blue Hole. How do I facilitate that?
Right. So So if they're coming through GGY, because you should definitely pay for your child to go see the Blues.
Yes, I got to pay for the child to see
but with GGY, we do like to say that we allow young people to explore part of their Bahamas. As a matter of fact, we have an annual national expedition every year called the Bahamas Award Super Expedition. And so we regrouped last year for the first time since COVID, mm-hmm. and we were able to carry almost 60 young people to Exuma.
Okay.
And spend 10 days. So every year we carry a group of young people to do an expedition on a different family island. So we're trying to determine which family island will be for this year.
One with a blue hole.
So
I gotta see the blue hole.
You'll be surprised at how many other islands have blue holes than Andros.
I heard Nassau has blue holes.
Yes, indeed. So and that's part of the learning. That's part of the part that you don't learn in your four walls of school and can still have its impact on a person's life. The fact that you know you've not been to a blue hole. Imagine that you had, and it's what you've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we provide young people these opportunities. Mm-hmm. So BASE actually started because on a visit by the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, he came and he said it would be a wonderful opportunity if you get a group of young people and go touring around the Bahamas, learning about their island while they pursue their award. That was more than 20 years ago. We still have BASE going on now.
Good. Now I get to have all the contacts again.
Okay, so if you want to reach out to our office, we are at 326-1760 or 1. Mm-hmm. We can be found on Facebook at GGYA Bahamas, as well as on Instagram. We can be found, our website is www.bahamasggya.org for organization, mm-hmm. so O-R-G. And you can reach out to any of those, through any of those contacts, and you are able to reach the secretary at the office who can assist you. And if you send us an email at admin@bahamasggya.org, we will be able to reach back out to you.
Excellent. I enjoyed this interview. Jackie.
Thank you.
Pronouncing it Jackie. Jackie, yes. Lightburn from GGYA. She's a director there. They're doing big and wonderful things. She's internationally acclaimed. Everyone knows her. I mean, she knows a prince or duke. Yes. So I'm impressed with that. But thanks very much for committing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
This has been Guardian Radio the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.